With 50-plus years of combined produce, supply chain, entrepreneurial, and business experience, Craig Slade and Ed Bertad discuss the impacts of fresh produce on their lives and health. This podcast is a casual conversation between two friends just trying to get better. This is The Fresh Cred.
Man, it's good. This is awesome. Good to see you. You looking well yourself, Trim. You got your goatee there, looking coiffed, as they say.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. The minute you start thinking something looks good, in retrospect, when you go back to look at it, I guess it's no different than old photos of yourself from 20 years ago. But even as recent as I think last year, before a hunting trip, I kind of let it grow wild, and in retrospect, it wasn't a good look. So I'm still determined to keep some sort of facial hair. I haven't shaved my mustache since birth, and I intend to keep it that way. So,
oh wow, that's impressive. And what? when did it first show up? When you were about six?
Oh, I guess the normal time around 12.
You've always been kind of an old soul. So, well, hell, mine didn't show up till I was about 23, I think, was the first time I got facial hair. So what are we doing here, man?
Well, you tell me.
All right. I guess I'll give it a crack. It's me and you both know why we're here, but I think it's more important for hopefully the two people that are listening, our wives, that is, and I'm not sure how long we'll keep them around, but this whole
podcast.
Well,
we're going to keep them around,
thing,
but you mean hold their attention.
I mean, actually holding their attention and listening, right? Yeah.
There you go.
I'm hoping I can get Tanya to actually turn it on at least once. That'll be great for me if she actually listens the first time. I'll feel good. So, but no, along with so many other things, that rabbit holes and interests that I've gone down the path on here in the last 4 or 5 years, podcast is just another one of those things that came into my life, and I just fell in love with listening to them. It's lots of information, lots of people that I enjoy listening to from random subjects, you know, whether it's, you know, doctors or just everyday guys talking like me and you are talking, and I don't know, just a whole random group of folks. And then for me,
I was just going to mention, I've listened to a lot of talk shows over the years. I actually use them, I think, from a productivity perspective, because I'm somebody that I can actually be listening to music and I did for a long time, but talk shows, I almost feel it makes me more productive. I spend a lot of time, you know, working around the house, in the yard, et cetera, plugged in the whole time. And I feel like, you know, somebody with talk show, which now the new talk show or the modern talk show is podcast, keeps me company, so to speak. And there's obviously some value in time to yourself and your, you know, with your thoughts, et cetera, but just listening to folks talk about different things, it's educational and it makes the time fly. I mean, I can spend 10 hours out in the yard listening to a variety of different topics and learn something. It, you know, it kept my attention, it kept me company. And like I said, in the end, I feel more productive. So I interrupt you.
Yeah. No. I mean, that's in same with me, as I've got the hour drive back and forth to the office, you know, and so that provided me a wealth of time for listening to podcasts, you know, if I'm not making phone calls. So that became a place. But it's all these journeys. Like I said, it's the journey on health, it's the journey on finance. It's there's so many different things that I've gotten interested in and trying to improve and you know, frankly, just, you know, get better. And I think, you know, you and I, we talk on a pretty regular basis, and both kind of on a similar path, right? We probably middle age crisis. At least we're not going out and buying expensive cars and finding secondary wives or anything. We're channeling our energy towards education and improvement.
I don't know if I told you this story. It's a funny okay, well, story, but
okay. Now, if there's a story about you and a secondary wife, I don't really want to hear about that.
It's a funny. It's a funny story involving my wife. It's, you know, so I don't know when it was recently. It was a couple months ago, and I was talking about how good I felt, and that, you know, the midlife crisis. I stated something like that, and so this is kind of a one-sided joke, I guess, but. She said, well, that's fine. Midlife crisis, have one, as long as you don't get a sports car or a girlfriend. And without missing a beat, I'm not that quick, but without missing a beat, I said, well, I've never really been into sports cars. So she didn't appreciate that very much.
Yeah.
But it was funny. She admitted it was funny and then let me off the hook. So anyway, midlife crisis. Back to you.
Yeah, no, but... probably all of this, I'm guessing, I got no other excuse for it, but this whole trying to get better, trying to educate more, it's probably driven by the fact that I'm hitting the speed limit, or the old speed limit of the 80s anyway, at 55. And yeah, I found myself, again, reflecting on who I'd been, where I've been, and then where I want to finish this thing out. And
what was the actual tipping point? So for those of that don't know us, I mean, I participated in a clean eating challenge recently, an industry, produce industry clean eating challenge. And basically that, you know, you dreamt up or came up with, and, you know, I don't know if I've ever properly thanked you for that, but I thank you, you know, you're my buddy and I appreciate it, but you know, it might have never happened, you know, if not for those circumstances. So, I know when the tipping point was for me, but we never really talked about when was it for you? Like, did something happen where, boom, the next day, you know, because obviously there's learning and there's habits and there's all these things that need to change. But, was there a particular point when that happened for you?
Yes and no. It's been more progression, and the best I've tried to go back and figure out. So there's been a couple of different catalysts. The first catalyst that I can put my finger on is a life insurance policy, and I got a cholesterol score. I had a cholesterol score. You know, I do my annual checkup, and I thought, and my cholesterol scores were fine. They really weren't bad, but they kept kind of going up. In fact, this was probably 5 years ago, 6 years ago, something like that. The doctor's like, hey, you know, you need to keep an eye on this. He said, we may have to do something, you know, if it keeps going this direction. Then I had this life insurance policy, and they wound up, they dinged me for it going up. And so then I got like, okay, cause I'm cheap. Anybody that knows me, it's listening to this, you know, my first thing is, you know, how do I save a buck? Well, when they dinged me for not being bad on cholesterol, but increasing, it became a competition for me personally at that point. And my first attempt at getting healthy was, you know, just quit eating as much meat as possible, right? And I literally, each day for lunch, I had a bean burrito from Taco Bell. And, you know, I thought, it's got beans, it's got cheese, it's got onions, and it's got a tortilla. It's no meat, and that should be good. All the food groups, yeah. And then I also combined it with, and I mean, you know, but I also thought a fruit smoothie was a great idea in conjunction with that, where I would put a banana and strawberries and blue. And don't get me wrong, fruit smoothies can be good, but it's probably a little bit too much sugar, at least the way I was making my fruit smoothies. In fact, Granger, I was making them for him and me, and he looked at me one time, Dad, and he goes, Dad, are you sure these things are good for us? Because, I mean, they were amazingly tasty. I said, oh, heck yeah, son, they're fantastic. It's fruit. And, you know, long and short of it is my scores didn't go down. I didn't improve. I didn't lose any weight. I really wasn't out to lose weight, to be honest with you. I didn't realize I was fat until I actually lost the weight. But end of the day, that's kind of where that was the first catalyst, life insurance policy. I started dinking around trying to understand a little bit about what kind of things I should be eating and how to improve my health. And then when I had the opportunity to take over this job with SunFed or come in, out and do this and move to Arizona, I was going to be here for a year by myself. That's probably the biggest change I made. And it was a combination of, you know, fear of the job, right? And knowing it was going to be pretty taxing on me, just psychologically, physically. And I didn't really need to be. Yeah. And if I was going to do a good job, I needed to be at the top of my game. And then second, being stuck in Arizona by yourself gives you a lot of time to think. And I kind of got off the rails out here by myself. My kids say I turned into a hippie when I moved to Arizona, so maybe there's some truth to that. But those were really the two big deals that took me on this path. And as I got on it, it's just continued to snowball. And hence, you know, now falling in love with podcast and me and you kind of enjoying what we're doing on these journeys, I thought, you know what? This is a great opportunity for Ed and I to have this conversation publicly because we both run into people that ask us things about our journey or what's going on. And who knows? Maybe somebody wants to listen to this. Maybe they don't. I know that I'm doing this because it's going to be fun. And, you know, however long we do it, at the end of it, I'm going to know how to put together a podcast. And education-wise, I want to be smarter in that respect. So whether it turns out to be anything or not, I don't know. But at the end of the day, I'm doing it because it's fun, and it's great to talk to you and be on this project, working with you on this thing. So,
well, it seems to be a good outlet now, for sure, for a couple people that like to talk. So at minimum,
yeah,
you know, we get out all those things we've been thinking about all week that we didn't have an outlet to talk about, which sometimes I wonder, because at the end of the day, last night I did a significant amount of talking yesterday, and my throat was actually sore, I think, from talking so much. So yeah, but so what does that mean in years as far as that time frame? So I know that when I started Cleaning Challenge, it was October, not last year, but the year before. So it was October of 19. So for me, it's a little bit about a year and a half. So what are we talking about in terms of years for you?
Like I said, best I can tell, 5-6 years that I've been serious, right? I mean, that's when I really, that's when the
showers every day.
Oh, no, no, okay.
And the 48-hour fasts and all that stuff.
No, that really is when I moved out here. The biggest catalyst was moving here and spending a year alone before Tanya and Granger moved out. It was being here for a year and left my own demise, demise, as they say. But yeah, just here, I was by myself, you know, and so I just started exploring everything, particularly around health. And that's when I got into the cold showers. That's when I got into the way I was eating. I started cooking just about everything. I mean, not eating out. I had a membership at the YMCA, so I moved to downtown Tucson. I was riding my bike to the gym. Again, it was a chance to really kind of do whatever and focus on all that stuff. Because like I said, I was by myself. I had the time. And the job itself can be at times extremely stressful and taxing. And I'm thankful that I did. But really, August 2017, I can tell you, when I moved to Tucson, Arizona, that's when most of this big stuff started happening. I was really, it was in motion before I got here. But by the time I got here, it's when all that stuff kicked in. But now, what about you? I mean, you know, so clean eating, I mean, I know.
I was just going to say, you know, the couple things that jump out to me, there's two. Really, and particularly when I'm asked about, you know, how did this get started? It's funny because you said something a little while ago about that you didn't know that you were overweight. When you first brought up this idea, we were at a board meeting, or I think it was a Viva Planning Committee meeting, and you brought it up.
It was.
And you kind of directed it towards other people in the room, not me, or at least I didn't feel like it at the time. And I felt like, I remember thinking to myself, wow, I hope, you know, kind of sounds like Craig's picking on, you know, somebody else. Maybe I should just do this so that, you know, it's kind of fair. Or, you know, I mean, I was still kidding myself that I didn't need it, right? So, I mean, you were talking about it, whether you're talking to me or not, or somebody else, I, you know, the narrative in my mind was, well, you know, I'm just going to jump on board and kind of support. And then, you know, fast forward and I lost 50 pounds and feel great. And now feel like I need to lose another 15. I mean, the energy is all there. I can't see getting any better there. From an energy level perspective, I mean, every day, you know, in the last year and a half or, you know, a while after starting, I would say, you know, days on the couch where you just watch TV and do nothing else, I might have had two in a year and a half. Otherwise, it's 6 a.m. to midnight every day doing something. And thanking God that I have the energy to do it. It's not a chore, you know, very active lifestyle. And we can talk about a lot of stuff. I mean, I think food, what we eat now that I would say I'm not perfect. I mean, I still have cravings and sugar here and there. Maybe it's a little bit of ice cream or something, but not at first, right? So the first 6 months was really, really strict. Now I let myself, you know, have some indulgence, but as far as junk food, fast food, stuff like that, it literally does not suit my lifestyle. If I have junk food, I don't have the energy to do the things that I want to do. If I eat pure, clean, whole foods, you know, stay away from refined flour, refined sugar, fried, you know, all those things, I have the energy. And I've even tested it to a certain degree here recently. And it's, you know, it's just empty calories. The empty calories aren't going to get you anywhere. So, and then I also think, well, so I'm grateful for that moment of clarity where for whatever reason I said, okay, I'm going to do this. You know, Craig's onto something, you know, whether it's for me or not, I'm going to jump in here and say, you know what, I volunteer. But you said one other thing that really stuck with me for quite a while, which was, and this is, you know, in from your perspective, saying that one day I know it'll be the end for me, but how that end develops, I can impact now. That really stuck with me. So it was a real motivator in getting kind of on board and figuring out, you know, how I can get on the same train.
Yeah. And like I say, that's kind of where I've come to now is exactly that. Right. It's like, I know there's a day that I leave this planet, right. That day's there. And I feel like that, you know, I can't necessarily control that. I'm not sure that I have any, you could argue back and forth what kind of influence we have on how long you're going to be here or not. But what I do believe is, you know, the quality or how well I can arrive at the end, you know, so I describe it now as I want to be running across the finish line. You know, I don't want to be crawling or being pushed across in a wheelchair. That's not for me. And that's probably it's become, you know, I call it a fear, call it just a goal or objective is, but I want to be standing, when this thing, when I'm called home, I want to be standing. And, you know, and the other thing, you know, that's kind of tagged on to that, which is this show, and this conversation is I don't also in the time that I'm living, I don't want to be left behind, meaning, I want to be keeping up with what's going on. I want to know how to run a computer or whatever the next computer is or the next phone, whatever. I don't want to be that guy that's 65, 70, whatever age you pick, and I'm stuck back in the 80s, you know. Still love the 80s music, but I don't want that to define me. I want to always be trying to explore what's new, you know. I mean, whether it's Bitcoin or whether it's new technology or this, if it's a podcast, you know, I want to be trying to explore that. So hopefully for everybody on this, as you listen to it and those of you that are tuning in, I mean, the idea is, you know, for Ed and I are two regular guys that have had a lot of different experiences. Ed originally from California, now a Texan, and me originally a Texan and now an Arizonan. But had a lot of different business experience and produce, particularly produce. We're both heavily involved in produce, and that's kind of driven, I think. I know it's driven my push towards health, or it's helped being part of this business, and probably for you too. But, you know, for people listening, I'm hoping that we're able to come on here and have our normal conversation that you and I have. And maybe, you know, through some of this, there'll be some things they can take away and can enjoy it. You know, send me to the podcast that I listen to other people that are talking. I'm hoping I can bring and you can bring the different experiences and stuff that we're getting now or we've gotten in the past and can talk about it here and people can find something. So ultimately, that's what this is about. This is what we're hoping to do.
Well, and we talked about walking the talk, right? As far as you mentioned, you know, our connection with produce and fresh foods, you know, walking the talk. And it was time for me to walk the talk. And very glad that I did it. It's I truly see it as a gift. Because I think back to, and sometimes, you know, oddly enough, people say it takes kind of a, I mean, you're talking about your health and your stats and I think an insurance policy issue. It takes a, you know, a disastrous event or a scary event to kind of get you, you know, off the fence to do something about it. But, I had a time where, I mean, you knew me obviously, and you actually experienced some of these episodes that I had where I felt so bad, in my early to mid 30s, that I probably checked myself into no less than 10, 12 hospitals thinking I was having a heart attack. You know, and it was a combination of stress, you know, all of us, you know, anybody who, you know, wants to get somewhere in life, you know, the stress of getting ahead in one's career, a young family at the time. I think I was building a house for a couple of those years, not taking care of myself, not eating the right things. You know, I felt like hell, and it was actually what the culprit was severe gastritis, which if folks don't know the difference, it's not heartburn. Gastritis is something completely different, and it's pretty intense, can create, you know, pain, distension, just overall sense of malaise, which is horrible. And, you know, if it helps one person, I am not above saying that I actually got so bad that I had suicidal thoughts during times that it was the worst. So to think that, A, I wasted so much time feeling like that, and that I wasn't doing anything to really help it, right? So I didn't change. I was eating refined flours, fried alcohol, the whole nine yards. The things that people don't want to hear, right, that they have to stop doing. And I think you've even said this to me before where, look, if it's comfortable, it's wrong. You know, if it's easy, it's wrong. You know, I mean, we're just hardwired to be, you know, kind of big babies, and we don't want, right? That's all the hard stuff. But as you grow in the process, I mean, you actually derive strength from all of this discipline that you create in your life. And again, I mean, it sounds kind of sanctimonious, but I have a long way to go. I know, I mean, I still have things in my life that I need to get rid of. But I'm a hell of a lot better off than I was, you know, even in my 30s.
So your 30s. So I think you may be nearing up on a new milestone. If I understand correctly, tomorrow's a big day. Is that right?
Tomorrow's a big day for me. Getting to the point where I want to start really ignoring these, but yeah, tomorrow's my birthday. I'll be 48. I'll be 48 tomorrow. And, I feel great. You know, and I can't believe
happy birthday, by the way. So,
thank
happy,
you.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. I can't hardly remember back to when I was 28, but if I was a betting man, which I am sometimes, I'd say that I probably feel better than when I was 28. And maybe that's because I just feel, you know, I guess the experience doesn't hurt, you know, you obviously are going to know more at 48 than at 28, but, you know, I know that I can keep up, I can, you know, I feel good. You know, my, I still have, you know, I've always had good cardiovascular conditioning because I had always been heavy. So at a young age, I was forced to do exercise and cardio and all these things, you know, playing football and doing all the stuff. So you kind of learn to adapt. So that I never really had a huge heart, but I was hauling around a lot of weight. So, I mean, 50 more pounds, I still feel like I have another at least 15 to give. I mean, I went from a double X shirt to a large. Now they're a little snug, but I'm rocking them because I, you know, if I can fit them, I'm going to fit them, put them on, I should say. and from a 38 waist to a 34, now might be a 33. So I don't really know, you know, I mean, the weight loss isn't really the determining factor. It's really how I feel, you know, and that's the huge gift that I mentioned that, you know, years ago when I was in a very dark place, and tying that to the genesis of this information, let's say it's podcast, but it's information that we want to try to share. And if it can help one person, because I'm pretty passionate about it, obviously I feel like I've gotten a second chance. I want to share that. And if it helps one person, it's worth it. And I mean, that sounds cheesy and corny, but once you've experienced something like I've gone through, you know, I can't be more sincere about it.
No. And I mean, that's it, that for me, that's awesome to hear. Like I say, you know, when you talk about that, for me, you can't imagine how, again, I think there was a lot of people involved. I mean, I know you say a lot of good things, you know, and how I kind of kick some things off and this, that, and the other. I mean, there were certainly a lot of people that were involved with a lot of it, but just knowing where you came from. And like you say, I knew where you, I didn't know the depths that you were at and experience. I know that it was kind of a dark place, but I didn't realize how dark it was. But to know that, you know, I had a little part to help you come through that. I mean, for me, that's a huge, makes me feel really good. I mean, as much as I enjoy playing golf with you and some of the different the events and things that we've done together, I probably really, you know, enjoy knowing that I was part of that and continue, you know, and now together, you know, you and I can, one, grow more, right? Continue to educate each other on different stuff that we're experiencing and seeing. And hopefully, like I say, through this, bring some other people along. I don't know. We'll see how it goes. If nothing else, I'm sure me and you'll have a blast.
You know,
we love to talk. And so we'll do a lot of that.
Yeah, well, I'm going to interrupt you real quick because I know we've got to move on. We've got some other stuff to talk about. But I think one more thing, you know, because this is our first episode and we're talking about, you know, the why and the what. And helping folks kind of along. And obviously with the clean eating challenge that we had, you know, the next class that came in, the first folks to do it, which I was one of, we helped mentor a group. And it was a much larger group and we had a lot of text communication, some conference calls, etc. But something that was very significant for me was prior to the holidays, we had a conference call and it was kind of a rah-rah rally to keep everybody focused through the holidays. Hey, you know, you might go off the rails a little bit, but you know, let's talk, everybody try to stay focused. And we had some new members join kind of late in the game and I was sharing my story and I still get emotional about it because, well, I'll go on to that. But so we're on the call and I kind of started getting emotional to the point where I couldn't talk. I got choked up and, you know, I got past it. We finished the call. And then a day or two later, I had been thinking about it, right? Because I felt a little embarrassed. And I was thinking about it. I was in the parking lot somewhere about to go into a store. And it just, I was inspired to send a note, a follow-up note to the group, right? It's 12, 13 people. Follow-up note to the group, say, hey, you know, happy holidays. If I don't talk to y'all, you know, be safe and, you know, let's stay disciplined and, you know, be strong and all that good motivational stuff. And then, you know, I ended it with, you know, for those of you that were on the call the other day, I got kind of emotional as I was talking about my story and I'd been thinking about it and I think I know why. And it basically boiled down to regret, right? So I regret that time in my life where I wasn't the best father, husband, even employee for that matter. And, you know, and that regret is what was so heavy and weighing heavy on me that made me, you know, kind of break down. So I even get emotional talking about it now, but that was, you know, the key word was regret. And we don't want to live with regret. You know, I think a lot of folks probably experience an entire lifetime. And towards the end, you might have some regret. But I felt it about as intensely as I think I could. And, you know, and I'm sorry for it. And I've even apologized to my family at this point. But, you know, where we're at. So I'm just trying my best now.
Well, I mean, and it's funny you say that. I mean, I'm in this, you know, again, what I don't think maybe I was, but I wasn't quite at the, like I said, the depths that you were. But that whole regret thing and looking back over so much, and I too want to make sure it's clear. I got a long way to go, right? I mean, this is a journey that I don't ever see an end to, right? So it's now a journey that I'll be on for the rest of my life, is the way I look at it. So getting better every day and trying to be better every day. But yeah, looking back when I was not aware, you know, awareness is something that's become a much bigger part of me, and trying to be reflective, you know, and there's plenty of people in my life, certainly within my immediate family, my kids, my wife, and I'm a pretty self-centered guy and sometimes have a hard time really appreciating and understanding other people's positions or where they're at. So I've too lived with that same regret and look back over the how things were and how I was and how I handled situations, particularly with kids. You know, my girls are all my kids are grown now, and so yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. But you know what? At the same time, I'm also aware that, you know, there's nothing I can do about that. But just like health and everything else, I can do something about today and going forward, right? And so that's what's in my control, and that's what I'm going to try and influence. But yeah, it's funny you talk about the regret. I mean, certainly I go through it as well.
Well, I mean, I think every human being does. It's just, you know, at different levels, obviously. But just, you know, one more thing, and I guess we can move on. But another thing that comes to mind anytime anybody asks me about just, you know, trying to get better and what I've experienced, but in retrospect, you know, I was in survival mode for quite a long time, you know, and when you're in survival mode, it's very difficult to get out of it and to get better and to be thoughtful, introspective, you know, self-helping, etc. I mean, I remember days where I'd get home from work or I'd be home and finish work, and I'd throw myself on the living room floor and just literally felt like, you know, dying because I felt so bad. And I'd watch my wife, who also works full time, get home, start dinner, help the kids with homework, and just do everything else. And I would just stare at her in amazement and think, you know, how does she do it? I mean, I wasn't being lazy. I felt horrible. You know, and now when I tell you in a year and a half, I might have spent the day on the couch two times, and I think I was mildly ill those two times. But, you know, I am going all the time. You know, I'm jumping out of bed.
Right.
You know, 48 tomorrow. I wasn't jumping out of bed when I was 30. So, you know, that's a, like, you know, those, I guess, things to watch out for. I mean, you know, it piles up on you. It sneaks up on you. It doesn't happen all of a sudden. It sneaks up on you. And so, I mean, if anybody else can, you know, hear those footsteps coming behind them like I didn't, then, you know, again, this is all worth doing. So,
all right. Well, I'm going to take that as an opportunity to segue into some other things we wanted to get to on this. And you know, you talk about family and you know, and how that's kind of changed. I think you and your daughter had something. We had Earth Day the other day, and I think you made some time out. I didn't know you were a gardener, but apparently you are. So maybe what was that all about? What were you guys doing for Earth Day, and how were you giving back to the Earth, my friend?
I wouldn't say I'm a gardener per se. I don't have a green thumb, but I'm okay saying I'm a workhorse. I mean, I can spend 10, 12 hours in the yard, 100 degrees. It doesn't bother me. I mean, as you know, we lived on property before. Now, you know, we have a pretty good sized lot, but we're just in a neighborhood. So I can spend a lot of time outside. So I'm good at pulling weeds and, you know, trimming stuff and pruning and things like that. But yeah, it was a pretty cool event. My daughter's in the Girl Scouts. She's been in the Girl Scouts for quite a few years now. She'll be 12 here pretty soon. And there was an opportunity where a local municipal golf course that had recently been saved, if you will, that was slated for demolition or development, it's been turned around and, well, not cosmetically or physically, it's just been saved. And now the next phase is to remodel, rehab, etc. So they have a butterfly garden. And there's a group that are basically just a nonprofit group that does work there at the golf course, friends of, if you will, that golf course. And they were trying to clean up their butterfly garden after a lot of damage during, you know, last year's hurricane and then the freeze. So we went in there with our troop and helped out, and it was a lot of fun. And, you know, it goes back and ties back to having the energy to do things. You know, again, I couldn't even imagine doing things after 8, 10, 12 hours of work. And now I have the energy to do things after work till midnight if I have to. You know, I mean, it's right. Just the level of engagement and, you know, and the level of presence is just night and day. So, we had fun doing that and cleaned up, and the butterfly garden is great, and there's a lot of happy butterflies now. So, and the girls loved it. And we did our...
Well, I mean, and yeah, I don't know if you were part of Walmart just for, I believe it was either Earth Day or Day, maybe it was before Earth Day, but we had a call with those guys, and I guess it was just the U.S. Produce industry or whatever, but, you know, they're pushing for, you know, increasing things for pollinators and, you know, really trying to take a closer look from our industry standpoint as to making sure we're doing the right things as it relates to the earth. And, you know, and it matters. I had a call this week with a grower, and literally the bee population, you know, in our business, they bring bees out to pollinate. They actually have an industry that their guys are bringing bees to the fields so they can pollinate. And supposedly the bee population is down by about 50% this year due to the fact of the drought. And that has a real negative effect on bees and pollinators, if you will. And, you know, the real deal is if we don't have pollinators, we're not going to have fresh produce. I mean, it's just that simple. We got to get mindful. I mean, I'm an old school guy. I'm coming slowly at this whole save the planet thing. This is one of those things where I had mentioned early on, I don't want to be left behind. I want to stay, you know, in tune with what's going on. And I'm trying to get up. All my kids are there. My wife's there. Everybody is, you know, in there. And I can see it. You can see the impact. We've got to try and do better. Like I say, for me, for the business that I'm in and business you're in, we better take care of this planet or we're not going to have an industry. And so it's good. It's good to see somebody with the bankroll that a Walmart would have to get behind these initiatives and then get companies like us and people around the country to get into it and start, you know, doing things to promote pollinators. And sounds like you guys were doing that at the golf course, with the flowers. So you're doing your part for pollinators. So good for you guys.
We have no shortage of bees in my area. We have no shortage of bees. I look out my window and I see a citrus grove about 100 yards away. So we have a lot of bees in the area. It's
good.
It's not funny you mention it, but you're mentioning, this has been a problem for a while, right? The bee population, and I don't know the statistics, and we probably should have pulled some stuff for this discussion, but, you know, it's been as long as 6 or 7 years ago that we had some experts come into a grower shipper board for United. We're in D.C. during a policy conference raising these very same issues. So, I mean, this has been something that's been an issue for quite a while. And so, yeah, it's definitely time we stand up and pay attention.
So, and I'm gonna put you on the spot. I got, you know, Earth Day through a company. I get these statistics. Just curious, what do you think the most polluted city in the U.S. is? I'm gonna give you a crack at least according to their statistics. So I'll my caveat in this. Let me see who this is. This is Statista. I believe is how you pronounce it, Statista. So this is their data, not Craig Slate's data or Ed Bertad. So your call, what do you think is the most polluted city in the U.S.?
I hate to pick on any one place. I'm not that well-traveled. I mean, I do get around, but that's a tough one.
This is not going to shock. So this is a city you know. This is a city you've been to because of the industry. And there's nobody, I know I've got several good friends that live in this city, and they would probably be able to tell you what the statistic is. One very good friend of both you and I lives here. No. It's in the business. It's a city you visit because of the industry we're in.
Houston.
You already, I know you know the state. Oh, come on. All right, I'm going to give it to you. So it's
LA?
Cali is the state. Bakersfield, California.
Cities with
the highest year-round.
It crossed my mind because the last time I was there, what I thought was fog, somebody informed me that it was smog coming up over the Grapevine. I had already gone over the Grapevine and kind of gone down in the Central Valley, and it wasn't directly over the top of us at the time, but you could see it off in the distance. It totally makes sense.
Yeah, so I mean, if you think about all that, I mean, those mountain range there at Bakersfield, all that stuff that comes up out of L.A. across the valley, comes and pushes up against those mountains and it stops. So, unfortunately, yeah, California actually, L.A. falls in about 3 or 4 down the list, but California has several of the top spots. Phoenix actually makes the list. What are they, number 10, it looks like, on here on the list. So, desert's great for a lot of things. Southern California being a high desert, but it's not great for particulates. So, anyway, a little information. Again, I'm not a statistician. This is from these guys at Statista.
Just reading the news.
So, along with events and industry and stuff, lots of things are changing. You know, we spent this last year in COVID lockdown. You mentioned the Clean Eating Challenge. Of course, that's highly connected with Viva Fresh and different stuff. But so what's your take on the world opening up, both for general world and the industry as well?
Well, I know that this has been talked to death, obviously. But, we had our Viva Expo in Dallas, and it was a relative success. Obviously a lot fewer folks attended, as you know. So I have mixed feelings still. I think I feel bad saying this, but after being vaccinated, I feel a little more secure, although every day I'm reminded that it's not enough, right? So, between mutated strains and other components of potential danger moving forward. We were able to have an expo and socially distance and have a significant amount of safety protocols in place. But, I'm still being careful. It's business as usual. It's COVID business as usual for me. Still wearing my mask and doing what I'm supposed to do and trying to protect others. And, I have a daughter that's not of age to have the vaccine, so I definitely think about her. I can still carry, the virus. So I definitely think about that quite a bit, but I am traveling a little bit, limited as needed. We've gotten pretty creative and had, tailgate meetings with customers, et cetera, outdoors, or outdoor, cafes or patios or stuff like that. And so, where there's a will, there's a way.
Yeah, I'm probably a little less cautious. Fortunately, I have a wife that keep me in check in a lot of areas. I probably wouldn't be here at all if it wasn't for her, because I don't always make the best decisions. And this whole new lifestyle that I'm on, like I say, it's an oddity for my personality or where I was at. But through the statistics, I've tried to research and look into all that. I'm a little more confident in the vaccine than certainly, what you're describing and certainly my wife and kind of where she's at. But at the same time, I wear the mask. I still participate, but I'm not really worried about getting out and going. In fact, I just got back. So we did the Viva Fresh thing, which I thought was awesome. It was great for the industry to get off the ground. I'd love to see the SEBC do their deal. We selected our booth for PMA this week, which I was super excited about. But last week, yeah, had a chance to go to Colorado and do some snowboarding to finish off the season. You know, one of the things of this show is everybody, you know, it's going to be kind of a random thing from the way we talk about it, certainly health and wellness, but it'll be things that we're passionate about. And snowboarding's one of those things that I got really passionate about. And so we went last weekend, and it was great. I mean, you had to wear your mask on the plane, hotels. I mean, you know, all those semi-protocols are there, but you can still get out with the vaccine, everything. You don't feel bad about being out, and you've got a lot less concern. And with everybody else participating, statistically, you're taking those odds, in my belief, you're taking those odds way down. Yeah, still could come about. It still could happen, but we're really starting to mitigate that. And I don't know, everything I read from it, the vaccines and once you have it, it's given me a lot of confidence. And I do try and read, you know, scientific data or doctors and things like that. I'm not a social media guy. LinkedIn's about the only place you can find me on social media, and you probably don't see me there much. But yeah, my source information for whatever I'm looking at, I try and make sure that it's from somebody that's got a lot better background than me in terms of knowledge. And I don't know, whoever I'm reading, I've got confidence in. But again, part of that's just my personality I tend to want to be on the optimistic side and positive side, and maybe sometimes that's a fault.
So when you went to Colorado, so I made a trip to Colorado in October during COVID, obviously, but we're on a hunting trip and out in the middle of nowhere. But what was it like where you went as far as capacity, you know, people? Did it feel back to normal, or was it still very?
Everything's packed, man.
Modified.
Yeah, it's everything. It's crazy. No. It's the planes. Every plane I've been on, from here to Viva, from here to Colorado, planes are packed. So whoever you're flying doesn't already still have the policy in place to leave open seat in the middle, you're probably going to sit next to somebody. So be prepared for that. But the lines at the airport, crazy. I couldn't get a cup of coffee. I was able to get in Tucson. It's a relatively small airport, but be prepared. People are out. People are chomping at the bit to get out, and they are getting out. And so, but again, everybody's behavior seems to be reasonable in terms of what we're having to live with now. And so I would say that you can be optimistic and get out and not worry. If you've got the vaccines, I think that you can go out with some pretty high level of confidence, especially the way everybody's behaving and with the number of people getting the vaccine. So U.S. is doing really well in that front. So you going to watch any golf this weekend? I think one of your buddies is playing.
Well, for sure. Today's moving day on the PGA Tour. So, you know, I should be out there right now hitting balls or playing. I don't get to play as often as I'd like, but as you know, I'm happy practicing. You can give me one club and I'd be happy for hours hitting balls. So this weekend is the Zurich Classic of New Orleans, TPC Avondale, which is just, again, outside of New Orleans. Been around since 1938, that tournament, but here recently, a few years back, turned into a team event. And Ryan Palmer, who we both know and spent time with and worked with his dad for quite a long time and just a great guy, we sponsored him as a company. Year before last, so last year they had to cancel the event, but year before last, he and John Rahm won that event. And so they are defending again, or they're defending this year after a COVID cancellation last year. So pretty exciting to watch. A lot of great teams playing very well. Kind of a unique dynamic, whereas John, I think when they won, was 24 years old and Ryan was 42. But their caddies know each other well, and they had previously played with Ryan had played previously with Jordan Spieth, and John had previously played with Wesley Bryan, but their caddies knew each other well, and I believe Wesley had an injury he was recovering from, a shoulder injury, and Jordan decided not to play at the time, so they reached out to each other and made a pretty good pair, and it was a great tournament. I think it was right on the heels of Viva last year, maybe the same weekend, because I remember thinking, I would say the last time we had Viva, I remember thinking I was contemplating driving from San Antonio to New Orleans to catch the last round. I think I was so wiped out, I decided to drive home at the time. Of course, that was pre-clean eating. If I had been clean eating then, I'd have been there for that win.
There you go. You would have made it. You would have been there. So.
Yeah, for sure. I'll be watching that a little bit. Admittedly, I tend to watch more, again, in order to maximize my time, I will record, and I will monitor via the app, and then I watch it at night. I speed watch it most of the time, with the exception of, say, like tomorrow, as we mentioned, is my birthday. We're going to have, a barbecue here with just our family, and I'll watch it live, likely. Last night I got in a little bit of golf. A mutual friend, his daughter is in middle school and interested in playing golf and playing golf on the golf team. So, he asked me to see if I could help and, kind of get her started and just do what I could. Right. And so, a lot of folks know my passion is golf, and early on it was a very selfish passion. Of course, you need to be super hyper-focused to be able to achieve any type of proficiency, which for me, mastering a skill is, and I've shared with you before, it's an art in and of itself. I don't have a lot going on from that perspective in my life. So my focus is, from a passion standpoint, recreationally, is golf, but early on, it was very selfish, and then once I had kids that play, or my son played junior golf in high school, and now my daughter's playing, going to start playing junior golf, and I'm working with her, and I've heard say that you don't truly master anything until you teach it. I view it through a different lens, right? So it's not the selfish, hey, get away from everybody and responsibility and everything else. For me, it's an evolution of learning. It's a lifelong, it's sort of like this clean eating thing, right? I mean, I watch Ryan play, and I've watched him a lot in person. You watch somebody at 44 years old playing with a 26-year-old. And, I'm 47, 48. I mean, I can still hit the ball pretty well. But when I play with some college players that I play with, or my son that, can hit it, really far, it reminds me how much more distance I could have. And I see a 44-year-old, talk about, excellence, long sustained excellence, and that's something to aspire to, right? Whether it's golf or anything else, it's very, very impressive. And with the junior golf thing, when we were out working on the butterfly garden the other day, I expressed my interest in trying to help out if there was going to be some effort in reviving that golf course, as well as any junior golf programs that they might have there, because where I live in the Valley, there's a lot of golf going on, but not a lot of nonprofit activity, let's say. There's a ton of instruction and other, things like that. But for kids that don't have the means, it can be a pretty expensive sport. So I'm interested in getting involved in some of that, seeing how it can help and pitch in or give ideas or fundraise or do whatever we can. But yeah, the junior golf thing for me now is a pretty exciting thing. I mean, I love to watch kind of when the lights turn on and, upstairs they get it and they start hitting the ball in the air.
Yeah.
It's pretty fun. So yeah, that's what I did last night. We're probably going to do more of that this afternoon. It's kind of a crash course weekend for her. And my daughter will join as well, and we'll have some fun. So that's what we're going to do this evening. It's 100 degrees here, or it's going to be 100 degrees today. So once it cools down a little.
But that's awesome, man. I mean, yeah, trust me, it is. Set out on the deck last night. Fabulous sunset. It is a beautiful night. So, but no, for you, I mean, I'm super excited. I mean, oh my gosh, you will, I know where a big part of your time is. Good thing you've got finished up all your projects around the house, because your afternoons will be all into the coaching of golf. So, and yeah, you know, talked about Ryan. I mean, you know, what a guy. I mean, he's having a super good year too. I mean, did well at the Masters. Hank, since 2015, is the first time back since 2015, had a really good round there. I know the last time it may have been 2015, maybe it was 2014. He finished, in the top 10, I believe, that year, but, no, a super good year and a lot of good finishes this year in the tournament. And it's exciting to see him.
Last year was really good all the way up through the FedEx Cup, and that FedEx Cup, you know, once you make it to the FedEx Cup, which you're a top 30 player at the end of the year in the FedEx Cup points, it basically opens up the entire next year to World Golf Championships, majors, you know, Augusta included, pretty much every event. So, I mean, that's the big ticket. So he played that well, you know, the previous season leading up to Atlanta last year. And then, so this year, you know, there's, even if he wasn't, he'd have the opportunity to qualify with either a win or ranking for most of those events. But there's a lot more planning, as he's mentioned in the past, that you can do when you know you're in those events. So particularly the WGC events, it can be all over the world depending on the year, right? So
it's exciting to see. Like I say, it's fun to know somebody that's on the tour, but like you say, to see him doing so well, it's really good. And you know, I'm convinced, though, you know, anybody that can learn to play golf in Amarillo, Texas, ought to have an advantage over everybody else, for crying out loud, because with the amount of wind and the hard pan that you're playing off of in Amarillo, for crying out loud, you might as well be playing in a parking lot in a hurricane. Mostly.
Yeah, so a couple of things, and then we need to get out of here. You got to get to your golf training, and I got to get to the rest of my Saturday, which I think I've got some things to do out in the yard. I got to do my version of Earth Day gardening somewhere here at the house. Fortunately, it's a small plot, so shouldn't take me too long. But,
nice.
You know, I did want to – yeah, so closing out, I mean, a couple of different things, you know, in line with – education and health, you know, I wanted to talk a little bit about yesterday. I had what's called a CAC test, CAC. Are you familiar with a CAC test? Have you heard of it outside of maybe me mentioning it to you before? I mean, it's a calcium score. I mean, so I would, so it's a super easy test. I mean, heart disease.
Oh, from what I've had it done. I've had that done.
Oh, you have? All right. Well, I had my first one yesterday. I mean, and it wasn't because I needed it. It was because I asked for it, you know, and through all my health. And I would tell people, if you have not had a CAC, it's, you know, I did self-pay, so it was like $99. If you do it through insurance, it's a lot more expensive. So I don't know. Check with your doctor. But end of the day, I did that yesterday, and it's your calcium score. It doesn't give you any guarantees, you know, health, heart, or whatever, except it's kind of predictor. It's like cholesterol scoring, right? You know, you can have good cholesterol scores and still have heart problems, but certainly it's like everything else. It's just more information for you to take action. If it's not a good score, it certainly helps to benefit, you know, to change it or improve your score, whatever. So CAC test, everybody that's listening, check with your doctor, get one recommended. Although, it's like anything else, be prepared for the information you get, because you may find out something you don't want to know, and you're going to have to make some changes if you don't want to live with it. But I wanted to talk a little bit about that. And then, you know, my new book that I told you about, did you get a chance to start that yet? Why We Age and Why We Don't Have To. Have you started any of that?
So this is the book that he's talking about. Lifespan, Why We Age and Why We Don't Have To. I read the foreword, I'll be honest with you.
David Sinclair is the author.
Right next to my desk, David Sinclair. I have every intention of doing it. I mean, I ordered it the minute you mentioned it. It's here now. Now all I need to do is read it. So I'm interested.
So, yeah, I mean, and it'd say, you know, for anybody that I highly recommend it. But again, that's why I'm all passionate about this stuff. So you may read the first two or three pages and say, oh, my gosh, this is like being back in biology class. So there's a little bit of that. But he does an excellent job of really kind of distilling it down to where, you know, somebody like a squash peddler like me can kind of comprehend most of the information. But It's a very intriguing book. From what I mean, I'm probably about 25% through, so it's a long book. But definitely something you know, for anybody looking to understand their health and health span and longevity, I think it's something you want to put on your list of things to read for sure. But you know, and you know, I think you know, along the lines of all this health talk and books and everything, I mean, I think you found some foods along your journey that you've kind of fallen in love with that help you live a healthier life.
Yeah. So I did. And thanks for the reminder on the CAC test, because actually that's something that I did when I was looking for answers a few years back. And I had, what I know now is atrial tachycardia. It's been controlled ever since with medication. One day I'll have it ablated, and that means a whole lot of discomfort and time, and I'll get it taken care of. For now, I have no issues. I can exercise. At the time, my heart rate at resting would go from 60 or 70 to 150, and it was just going out of whack, right? And so the cardiologist, who then referred me to, I don't remember what the technical term for his specialty is, but let's just say he's a heart electrician, because my issue wasn't plumbing, it was the electrical component. So
right.
Short of doing a catheter ablation, I'm taking medication for it. But at the time, looking for answers, I came across a hospital that was offering the CAC test for $100, as you mentioned. My stats weren't great. They weren't horrible, but they weren't great. But the reminder that you just gave me is, now that I'm in better shape, I need to go back and have it done and have the, and reconcile the two. So I'll do that ASAP.
No, oh, that'd be, you know what? That would be super interesting. It'd be super interesting to know where that's at.
Yeah, what the, I'll share it for sure. I mean, look, before the cleaning challenge, I was right on the fence for needing, you know, diabetic treatment, blood sugar medication, or cholesterol, etc. So I was on the precipice of a lot of medication. So I still take the one pill. Everything else I take is supplements, you know, every day. I still take the one pill, which is propafenone. But from the first pill, I never had that symptom again. And believe me, it's a symptom that I literally, for 3 weeks, because it took them 3 weeks to figure it out, I was in agony. And I had my son driving me around because I couldn't drive. I get lightheaded. Again, you know, more things that until you felt ill or not felt well, you don't realize what those situations are like and how you're just trying to survive. It's scary. So more motivation to, you know,
right,
live well, live clean. Fasting, you know, is something I didn't do during the clean eating challenge. It's, again, speaking of narratives and what we tell ourselves and what we can and can't do. I lived a lifetime thinking that I literally had to stuff my mouth the minute I wasn't even fully awake, and I'd be eating something because I thought that's what I had to do. And I'd listen to folks like you and others talk about fasting and just thought you were crazy. So I didn't even do it during the clean eating challenge. What I did was, back in March, early or late February, I thought, you know, I really need something to kind of get me to the next level or break through that wall or that plateau. And so I started intermittent fasting, and it's been an eye-opening journey for sure. You know, I'm only doing minimum 16 hours a day. On good days, 19 hours, and on the weekends, 23 hours, and then I'll eat. So, you know, I need to balance my caffeine intake, because I get to a point where I continue to drink coffee and water, you know, stevia and heavy whipping cream, which are both supposed to be okay and not disrupt the fasting process. But when I do break my fast, my wife had gotten me, or tried to get me, on bone broth forever, and I hated it, everything I had tried, until we came across something called from a company called Lano Life, and it's Thai curry beef broth, which is what I use to break my fast typically on any given day. So I'll have a cup of that, hot water. It's literally in a tube, looks like Crystal Light tube. Dump it in some hot water, drink that.
Yeah.
And then I'll have a boiled egg or two. Typically on Sunday, my wife will boil a dozen eggs in an Instapot, and we'll have eggs in the fridge throughout the week, or Nestfresh just came out with a product with 6 hard cooked eggs in a 9-ounce package that I'll grab. So those are some cool products and items that I like. I mean, I think throughout the process of this podcast, I think, you know, I definitely want to share our hacks and products and stuff that kind of make life easier. Those are two that definitely make it easier for me. And then from a produce side, I've really been hooked on the sumo mandarins. Are really good, really easy to peel. I really like those. Those are awesome. Apples. You know, salads. I love putting apples in salads. Cube up an apple, dice it up, and then put in a salad. And just what an apple, a whole apple. I mean, I'll take a starter salad, you know, a prepackaged salad, start it, make my own dressing. Another thing that I never thought I could do. I never thought I could eat just olive oil and vinegar as a dressing. I mean, I was a steakhouse Thousand Island guy, ranch, you know, as creamy, as much fat, as much mayonnaise based as I could. And I haven't touched that in 2 years. But, you know, a good olive oil, which that's I probably awesome. Have 8 bottles of different olive oils right now. I might be like you with wine. I'm with olive oil right now. Salt, pepper, olive oil, a little bit of lime juice sometimes. Cilantro is really good. Whip it up or put it in a blender. And garlic, salt, pepper. Anyway, that apple, and I'll add an avocado to a prepackaged salad. And, you know, not only is it the right amount for me, because I'm not really good at the right quantity, I should say. I'm not really good at measuring, you know, what I'm eating. I still want to eat, you know, I don't see the fasting component as starving myself. So, but when I do eat, I'm not trying to measure and not, you know, at least satiate, you know, what I'm trying to do. And it's not about eating everything under the sun. Yeah. My feeding window is. So there's a lot there, and we'll probably talk about it later. And heck, we might even bring on a guest to talk about it and further. I mean, you're pretty spooled up on the subject as well. I'm just a novice right now. But I do know that I've gone from thinking I needed to eat to have the energy and the focus and to be able to do all those things to where now I feel like I'm performing at my peak when I'm fasting. My mind is a lot clearer. I'm sharper to the point where when I do break my fast at 3 o'clock on a typical day or even 4 o'clock, just to kind of bridge me to dinner, which isn't much, like I said, a bone broth and a boiled egg or half an avocado or a whole avocado. Again, I'm not totally limiting myself. But you know, I'm almost not wanting to break the fast because I know that I still have either really, you know, intense work to still do from a brain power perspective, or I do start to feel a little sluggish now when I eat. Even if it's healthy food, I'll feel a little sluggish, and I don't want that sluggish feeling. So not to mention overeating. I can't remember the last time I felt like I was in a food coma, you know, like you do on Thanksgiving. I haven't had that feeling in well over a year, and I don't miss it.
Yeah, and certainly, man, there's about 10 different subjects and topics we can get on fasting. I don't want to even begin to get started down my fasting passion right now. We'll save that maybe for the next pod that we put up. And, you know, because, yeah, there's a lot there. And I agree. All the things you said, you're spot on in terms of fasting. And we can get into at least what benefits I've gotten from it and what some of the people say out there that there are benefits. So, yeah, no, I think we covered a lot of material. I think we maybe before we even started, you know, doing the podcast idea, you know, I said you and I could do a 10-hour podcast. I'm not sure anybody wants to listen to an hour and 15 minutes of us. I know nobody wants to listen to 10 hours of us. So we've got to rein ourselves in and try and make it a little more, you know, make it as compact as possible. So, yeah, I mean, for me, this has been, like I say, the first intent was to have a good time. All of this to getting up to this point and making this first recording, it's been a blast. You know, today having this conversation has been fun. And now the fun part will be, like I say, if the wives, if they bless it, or if they give us the thumbs down like the Romans did, and, you know, probably we'll continue doing it with a thumbs up or thumbs down. That's just kind of how we are. But I don't know. You got anything before we shut her down?
Well, considering how much fun she was making of me when I first brought up the idea, I think that's it. I mean, I was just saying that, you know, my wife was sort of making fun of me when I came up. I wouldn't say sort of. She was making fun of me when I came up, I came to her with the idea. And, you know, after I talked to her about it last night, in preparation for today, I don't know if she was being supportive, but it was a lot more positive, let's say. She was interested in hearing what we have to say. So, yeah, I think, you know, you pretty much covered it. I think we'll have a lot more to talk about, but almost like an old married couple. And, you know, now we have to separate and go have new stuff happen to us so we can come back and bring it to each other. Because if not,
yeah, exactly.
We'll run out of things to say.
All right. Well, let's close it out. And for you guys listening, this is the Fresh Cred. And, we'll let you know as soon as we get our Twitter page set up and where you can find us on social media. But really appreciate everybody tuning in, and we look forward to seeing you guys next time we're in town. Take care now. See ya.
Take care. Talk to you soon, buddy.